Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is July 21st, 2021. This is your Fightful Post AEW Dynamite Fighter Fest Night 2 review. We've had a newsworthy day. I also had Alex and Robert put in the wrong spots, but there they are. Guys, if you're watching, leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications. You can donate a super chat by hitting the little dollar sign down at the bottom. Get your question or statement read on the air like James Edward Smith did, where he said, "I need the hose for this one. Can we get the hose? Go grab the hose." After the news I dropped today, we're getting that water straight from the spigot. We're just dumping our heads underneath the thing. We're going to be talking about that later. Somebody says there was supposedly a report that CM Punk signed.
Supposedly.
Yeah, man, guys. Check your sources. Check your sources. Rob Reed says that he's convinced Tony Khan's playing the world's biggest game of TEW.
Sure does look like it, man.
He's got the money for it. Let him do it.
Yeah, let him do it. Robert, you've been here today. I gave you the heads up last night on the CM Punk news. What was your reaction when I told you?
My reaction was literally to talk or to wrestle, and then you told me wrestle, and it's just immediate excitement. Immediate excitement.
Now, if you guys missed the report, FightfulSelect.com, our premium service, please subscribe to that. We will have more on CM Punk this week. Reported that CM Punk and AEW are in talks for him to return as a wrestler in the ring. Again, no deal has been done. No deal is finalized. But this was the type of thing. I know a lot of, there were some people that were like, "Oh my gosh, you ruined the surprise." This was going to get out there within the week, without a doubt. Within the week, it was going to get out there. Then Bodyslam.net, who does have, I can tell you, does have AEW sources, reported that Daniel Bryan has signed with AEW. Alex, and I have not yet confirmed this story, but Alex, that's kind of a big one.
That's a big one right there. That's a literal game changer. Like we're already seeing trending in opposite directions. Those two coming in around the same time. Coupled with what's the inexorable decline of quality in main roster WWE shows, almost across the board, we may be seeing like an eclipse where the new guy overtakes the old guy sometime in the next year. Like it's an amazing time to be alive. I tweeted this out tonight. Wrestling in 2021 is literally insane. I mean, I was referencing specifically Orange Cassidy and Sting doing the little fake lazy kicks to each other. But that's only a part of it. A larger part of it is this Daniel Bryan and CM Punk news. But all of it is just insane in really, really great ways.
So with Punk, it's like, all right, he is one of the top stars of the last decade, but he's also been away for a while. Daniel Bryan was in the main event match of this year's WrestleMania. That is a huge grab for AEW.
Let me tell you, buddy, that tweet I put out was behind a paywall, and it still did about 3,000 retweets on there. Like, there, people are interested in CM Punk. I'm going to pull up the impressions right now just to see how far it went, because it was unreal. Yeah, 1.69 nice million impressions, 58,000 engagements there. There are some people interested. Rob Reed said it earlier, Brian and Punk is outside level big, or outsiders level big. Yes, they are. And I know that on the surface, some people will go, no, they're not. No, they're not. Yeah, they are, because CM Punk and Daniel Bryan both individually are bigger stars than Razor Ramon was when he left WWF. Yes. And I know a lot of you are going, no way, no way. Yes way. Both of them were multiple-time world champions. Razor Ramon was not. He was an amazing performer. Now, you could argue Diesel was a bigger performer because he was really fresh off of a one-year title run. It's mind-boggling to think, because in the period in which Kevin Nash left, Bret Hart had a title reign, and Shawn Michaels started his title reign, and Kevin Nash was a part of that, but he was 6 months removed from being a one-year world champion. So that was a really big one. But we've got Frank Aguilera saying we're living in the best TEW save ever. James Tyler says if Punk and Punk and Bryan Danielson show up in AEW, that console game is going to be sweet. My friends, I just want to say 2022 adds to the craziness. I'll say that. 2022 adds to the craziness. iCallum X says, I hope TK buys the rights for Final Countdown. That's one of those things. Well, I mean, they could use, quite literally, they could use his WWE theme.
Yeah.
It's public domain, isn't it?
Yep. Like, Ride of the Valkyries has been around for a long, long time. You can play that one whenever you want.
They can use that if they want. For Alex, can Giannis wrestle AEW match?
Hey, like, they didn't do it this year, but last year, before every home game, they would like do a little play wrestle backstage to get all the little boys amped up. And some of those tweets about it went viral. I know he loves professional wrestling. He will be, I promise you, at the Milwaukee Fiserv Forum when they do the Super Show in a couple of weeks.
Oh, we have WWE Mark, of all people, saying, AEW makes me feel like a kid again. That's the person's screen name, is WWE Mark. What?
Well, there you go.
Oh, J.K. Schwall says, me and Alex could use a nice relaxing day to recover from celebrating the Bucks title last night. SRS Punk cast Brian Gage. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
This was by far one of the biggest news days we've ever had. Now, if you guys want me to elaborate more specifically on this story, our entire list in your boy was about CM Punk today. The entire show, 1 hour long. And then on Fightful Select Thursday, I'm doing a live Q&A at noon Eastern. So go ahead and subscribe to that. And Steven says, with the Daniel Bryan news being broken, when's the time you bring him in? Should they pull the trigger or wait till All Out? They should wait till Arthur Ashe. But Alex, Robert, here's what I mentioned. A good way to have him pop up is Daniel Bryan shows up and he's going, yes, yes, yes. And then immediately Cult of Personality hits. And CM Punk walks out face to face, and that ends an episode of Dynamite. And
yeah.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
More than anything, this puts Hangman in jeopardy because Hangman's great, but there's a lot of people who are going to want to see either Punk or Brian take that belt from Kenny Omega.
But I they're so good at using veterans. They're so good at it.
The thing about Hangman is that I think they're pretty much locked into him taking the belt off of Omega. But I think the money is in the chase of that particular guy chasing that other particular guy. Once Paige has the belt, he doesn't have to hold it for 6 months. You can do a lot of stuff with that to get it off him pretty quick. But again, like Brian and Punk don't need to be anywhere near a title to have like all eyes on them. It's just crazy.
Anakin says, is this the biggest week in news history? White, Cena, Goldberg, Punk, Gage, Brian, Chavo. It's probably the biggest in Fightful history. It's hard for me to believe that 20 years and maybe 4 odd months ago wasn't a bigger news week when you've got WCW being sold to WWF. That's gotta be. And by the way, WrestleMania was that week.
Yes.
And the greatest WrestleMania of all time, maybe. Samuel says, they said on Dynamite, Tony Khan is going to make an announcement next. Do you think it's Bryan Danielson? If not, what do you think it'll be? I heard it was a live event announcement is, I believe, what they said. Brandon Charles Powell said, Sean, your idea will cause our hearts and brains to explode. Let's do it. I mean, we haven't even got into the show. We haven't even gotten to the show yet. Brian F. says, hate to be a downer, but how many fans of Punk and Brian watch AEW now? If a lot, doesn't mean that it's an immediate impact of ratings will be limited. Who cares?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of people will tune into AEW for Punk because Punk is of an era where maybe some kids were super into it, stopped watching. Maybe they'll start watching again. But Brian, fresh off WWE TV, a lot of people are going to tune in.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it'll have a significant ratings impact. And when the gap is getting this close, we were talking about before the pandemic ended, we're talking 1.1, 1.2 compared to 1.6. Every 0.1 is important, every bit of it. And by the way, they're about to add a third hour in August. I don't even know how the hell we're handling that, covering it. I don't have an idea yet. No clue. Sean Gray says, do we think this is a part of the shift Tony Khan was talking months ago? He was forward thinking. Tony Khan's been forward thinking a long time, but I've been posting a lot of stuff that kind of went under the radar on Select when I posted that Kylie Rae thing. And I mentioned, oh, by the way, they're going to do some more NWA stuff. And I know a lot of you all don't realize that that's a big deal, but a year and a half ago, NWA hated Impact. Hated Impact. You got Mickie James popping up and Deonna's going to wrestle Melina and Britt Baker's cornering Scott D'Amore and saying, when can I wrestle Britt Baker or when can I wrestle Deonna Purrazzo? And you've got Ian Riccaboni and ROH tweeting at Deonna saying, hey, we want a piece of that too. By the way, you're really good. You got Thunder Rosa just showing up wherever she wants. Like this stuff, this is unlike anything that we've seen in quite a long, long time. We probably need to get into covering the actual show.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff happened on this show. We kicked off with a stipulation match, Jericho versus Spears. I'm all right with this. MJF on commentary was honestly the highlight for me. Until the post-match. He was the highlight because I don't necessarily like Jericho just running through the brick wall, Alex, and I know you know what I'm talking about.
Jericho took a chair shot to the head and then Spears' finisher and kicked out of it. And this is match one of five. So the punishments for him are only, and we know what they're planning on match number two. So there are apparently three more matches that are going to be more intense than match number two, and we are going to talk about how intense match number two is going to be. So I am not interested at all in watching Jericho play the underdog who overcomes the odds. This version of Jericho, especially, like, we'll talk about how laughable of his stuff is that he thinks is cool, dude. Like, it's I don't think it does any favors to any of the guys he's facing for them to say, oh, no, you, yeah, give me a chair shot and then your finisher and I'll kick out of it and then hit you with my little spinny elbow and then I'll win. Like, I just don't think it's believable. And it's going to get less and less believable as we go on.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, Sean Spears is solid. I think you can get away with this with Sean Spears because even though he's great, people expect this.
Yes.
With Sean Spears. I don't want to see him take a pizza cutter and glass next week and go.
We'll talk about it. Don't get ahead. But I win because I'm Chris Jericho.
It's like, all right, they're going to really have to level it out here. But I will say I'm glad that so far it seems like MJF isn't sticking to the pinnacle for these labors of Jericho.
Yes, me too.
So after this match, which was, you know, all right, but I didn't like that finish. I didn't at all. MJF is like, all right, I got somebody for you. I got somebody lined up. Mentions the death match is robbing a bank without a mask, which was a funny rib, I thought. I thought it was a good rib. And it's Nick Gage. Like, I didn't expect to see this. Well, okay, at the time I did because I was told about 12 minutes before. But I didn't expect to hear that. This is arguably the biggest week of Nick Gage's career. A Dynamite appearance. He's got a white-hot match with Matt Cardona this weekend. By the way, Fightful has an interview with Matt Cardona Thursday, which I am calling his last will. But we're going to be talking about that match. And then next week, he's got the match. The pop for this guy was insane. And quite frankly, what it's got to be, he's got to turn around and stab MJF repeatedly after this. Like, I can't see him as like MJF's henchman, Alex.
Yeah. I have no desire to see Jericho take a pizza cutter to the tongue and light tubes to the head and just power out of it, beat Nick Gage at his own game. I could see MJF berating Nick Gage to like hurt him more. Like, no, don't pin him. Like, get him in, stab him in the throat and just get really, really aggressive with it so that Nick Gage turns on MJF. And by the end, he and Jericho are like raise each other's hands because they're friends now. Like, I could see that kind of weird stuff happening. But I mean, just the idea of this version of Jericho going up against Nick Gage in a death match is just hilarious and awesome to me. Like, it's just so crazy.
So that's what you're talking about, Robert. Later on, Jericho's like, I'm bringing back the Painmaker. And Alex, I gotta admit, me and my wife laughed our asses off at your hat tweet. It was... I
mean, no, it's just the thing is, because he's talking to Marvez, but he's back, he's turned his back to the camera. And I'm like, oh no, he's got the face paint, doesn't he? And then he turns around, he's like, I gotta bring back the most sadistic version of Chris Jericho. And he turns around, he's got the face paint, and he puts on the little hat. As if the little hat's like the topper. Look how intense I am. I got a little hat.
It's like, come on, man. It's like Karrion Kross couldn't win on Monday without Scarlett, and Jericho's got his little hat.
I mean, it is literally laughable that he thinks this guy's gonna get Nick Gage. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's hilarious. A lot of it is in a good way, but some of it's just like really, really funny.
Well, Robert, Anakin says it's interesting. Would love to see him bring back an old gimmick for each labor. That could be interesting, but what did you think about this?
The reveal of the Painmaker was one of the silliest things I think I've ever seen Chris Jericho ever do, not because of the hat, which does complete the look, because he goes, like,
and he gnashes his teeth.
What are you doing? That's supposed to scare a guy who has robbed a bank without a mask. And that's why I like that Nick Gage is doing this, because never mind heels and baby faces. He robbed a bank. He wants the payday. That's all he cares about. So if he's got to kill Chris Jericho to do it, sure. I'm good with this. Jericho needs to turn heel or just go away for a while because he's really
I think he's going to go away for a while. I think it's going to happen probably after All Out, maybe. I don't know. But he shouldn't go over in this feud. Especially if he's going to beat five people to get to MJF, he should lose. Bali or Lasagna says crazy matchups for Jericho while he channels past iterations leading to a final match with MJF would be an all-time retirement arc. and he can't lose. MJF needs to put Old Yeller out to pasture and then use him here and there. I get the feeling he's probably going to do Rampage commentary. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, what I would like to see, JR be phased in more into the interviews, backstage interviews, and maybe some talent scouting, so to speak, because his contract, I believe, is up early next year or around May. Jericho to become the household name on commentary, and then CM Punk kind of replaces him as like the guy, the household name that people know. And we've got a bunch of super chats about Nick Gage, but Sean Blanford says he's going to the Milwaukee show in August and couldn't be more excited. I'm quite literally taking the night off when they go to Cincinnati, and I'm just going to go enjoy the show for one night and I'll probably review it on Select, but we've got Volob saying MDK all effing day. Anakin, actually, we already read that one. Rob Reed says AEW can finally book the Ultimate Four Way: Page, Cage, Cage, and Gage. they need to do like a mystery vortex show.
No, happens. It's a fatal five way. It's Page, Page, Cage, Cage, and Gage, because there's two Pages as well.
Yes, there sure are. Hunter Gaskin says Jericho giving his best blue steel look. He's done that for a while. What's next for Jericho? Wardlow, Big Show, Hoovy. I would love Hoovy. Somebody brought that up today. Hoovy is a great shout. A great shout. I wish so. Jericho, I mean, Big Show's a good shout too. Paul White is a great one. I honestly... As stupid as it sounds, like Wardlow, the least of these three options right now, just because
mostly because I don't think he needs to take a loss to Jericho.
And plus, if you're keeping things exciting for Dynamite, Robert, they've done really good at doing these things. Like, oh, here's Gage, here's Chavo, here's Big Show or Hoovy.
Right,
Big Show would be good. I know he wants to have another match, and Jericho can easily do it. Hoovy would be amazing, but I wonder if he can still create that magic with Jericho. But I'd love to see
worked,
that.
He worked this weekend.
That's amazing.
The man worked this weekend.
Wow.
Jason Tinkham says, Cult of Personality hits as MJF walks out to Dynamite for a few weeks. Oh, it needs to happen the Dynamite before All Out.
Yeah.
What I would do, what I would do is have MJF walk out to it, if you were doing that, and then have Punk walk out to it right after.
Yeah.
You what, mate, says kudos to SRS taking his time with the CM Punk news. I had seven straight pretty sleepless nights over that one. And I did not tell the majority of my staff until yesterday. Kenshiro says would like Hammerstone, the OG Dynasty. That would be a good shout too, but I don't know how well MLW and AEW are playing right now. New Punk Rant says I legit lost my voice. AEW was great. Bucks won. I love AEW so much, MDK for life. And Cliff Beard says that he has less than zero interest in watching Gage, and he's a huge hardcore fan. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, that share that sentiment that they don't want to see that type of match. I don't like the types of matches that he does, personally, but I'm excited to see him doing well. And we've got Joey Knuckles saying AEW making its own standards, just caught a whiff of what a wrestling nerd billionaire is capable of. He was off his chair for most of the show. MDK. And Dante V says, what if MJF picks an Inner Circle member for Jericho to face? I think that's the end game.
I think that's number five. Yeah. I think he forces Jericho to F up Sammy.
Other indie guys you'd like to see face Chris Jericho? Not an indie guy, but Hoovy is one. And honestly, I would really, really like to see Lance Storm. I think that would be a good shout because Lance Storm said that they have committed to do their last match together, and he hasn't wrestled in a while, but he would like to do that. Wallace saying, can't imagine Jericho allowing a goat story for BD and Punk without his hat in the ring. I don't think they need that. I really, really don't. Ken Shearer says, seeing how two different companies do the hometown hero in a span of 2 days is pretty funny, both in Texas, no less. Boy, ain't that the truth. Ain't that the truth. Up next, we get Kazarian, Doc Gallows. Gallows wins. This was an okay match. Kazarian can have a good match with anybody. Now,
Impact spoilers, turn away if you wish to not hear it. Kazarian is doing Impact stuff now. And I'm not that much into this feud, but Robert, I can tell you I'm into it a lot more than I am some of the Impact storylines.
I think. So,
it's yeah. Do some like realignment there. I'm cool with it.
I think that Kaz should have won because he should get some wins and lead to an eventual match with Kenny. But I like him in Impact, but I am into this feud more because AEW is the bigger show, and I think he deserves the grander stage to shine on.
After this match, we get a little bit of gang wars as they come out and they attack the Elite, attack Kazarian. Hangman Page and Dark Order make the save because Hangman Page is getting beat up a little bit. A harmless way to use your gang wars to keep Page and Omega from touching each other, Alex.
Yeah. Yes. I think that if Kazarian's going to do more AEW stuff as the Elite Hunter, I think what's interesting about him is there's something cool about the guy who like gets a match versus Doc Gallows, loses the match, and yet that's not going to stop me from still trying to F you guys up. Like I'm not giving up. You're going to have to put me in a body bag, which I think is an interesting layer of that. The thing I did love, little detail, when Paige comes out by himself with his drink in hand to save Frankie Kazarian, and Don Callis gets on the mic and says, "Man, I don't know if you're drunk or stupid." And the mic didn't pick this up, but you could see Paige say to Don Callis, probably both, and he hands over the drink before he takes a shot. And I thought that was a really, really cool, just a great Adam Page type thing to say. I'm both drunk and stupid.
I would really love if like a week or two before All Out, they're really still hammering him about being drunk and all this stuff. He's just like, oh, this is like Coke Zero. I've been sober for a year. Beat somebody's ass.
There's no alcohol in this.
There's no alcohol in this. I haven't had a drinking problem for a long time. This is a coping mechanism. Yeah, it just makes it easier for me.
I'm just thirsty.
Yeah. Billy Buttlicker says, is the Bullet Club stuff from Impact going to cross over to AEW? I would imagine so.
I would say so. We saw a Bullet Club guy on TV tonight, so that's probably a good sign.
Look, we're still talking about forbidden doors, and like they removed the hinges, like they've taken the Phillips head screwdriver and just pulled the fasteners off.
Like somebody went there and was like, all right, we're gonna take down this wall, make a big wide open space from the kitchen to the living room.
Open
like
just, floor plan right yeah, here.
Just walking right through it.
Oh, you got Scott D'Amore putting up shiplap on one end of the room. New Punk Rant says, I'm the Hoovy Mark, have been since 97. It's all I've wanted, but AEW is channeling that 96-97 WCW injury or energy. They really are. It does feel a lot like that with Bullet Club, with Elite, with everybody working together. I'm really getting those vibes, and that's a good thing, because 96-97 WCW was very good.
Very good.
Jensen says, I say Punk shows up first at Chicago, let that breathe a while, and then Bryant interrupts Punk's promo in Queens. I applied for credentials to Arthur Ashe just to go.
Well, you know they're going to do something crazy.
Yeah, just to be there, hopefully. Intangible One Cliff Beard says, live event could be him saying AEW is going to the UK. He did want to do a pay-per-view out there before the virus, right? Yeah, and that would be a big one. That would be a significant one. But also with the variant and all that stuff right now, I feel like we might be waiting until 2022, but that's just my hunch.
UK is not ready yet. And
there you go.
I think that the announcement's going to end up being something with Brian, probably, because they're probably not going to announce anything with Punk, even if they have anything on paper, till they actually get him in the ring. I think Brian can be announced beforehand.
Justin Tinkham says, I disagree with SRS. Old way to do things was on TV to sell pay-per-views. I think TK sees the stuff in doing stuff on pay-per-views to pop big TV ratings. That's funny. I remember Sting debuting on AEW Dynamite. I remember most of their debuts happening on AEW Dynamite. They do both. That's just how they are.
Yeah, yeah. I think that you've mentioned something on Listen to Boy today of the Dynamite or the Rampage before All Out doing the Punk thing,
yeah,
a tease or the Brian thing to get like, because like then your people are definitely buying All Out. Like, if you think that Punk is gonna do something like that, that can drive that, because this is not the same thing as a Peacock or WWE sure. Network model. Like, they're selling 4 major pay per views a year. You got to get people to buy those.
And just a heads up, I mean, for those of you who are talking about the validity of Body Slam and the Daniel Bryan report, I haven't confirmed it yet, but I mean, the guy Cassidy who issued that report, he was the one who told me Gage was coming out about 10 minutes before it happened. So, I mean, had it right there. I know he's been on some good leads this week. I know him to have AEW sources. I am working to confirm this one as well, though, but Cassidy is good peoples. Nikolai says, could the live event announcement be a cross-promotional event? Love the show tonight. More Wheeler Yuta. Let's talk about the Wheeler Yuta match. Yes, I believe it could be a cross-promotional thing. I for sure do. Like, I mean, they could be like, you know what? We didn't get to go to Vegas this year, so let's just go with Impact and do like AEW Impact Bound for Glory. I think that could be a lot of fun. But Wheeler Yuta took on Darby Allin, and this was, honestly, I don't remember much about the match. I just know I enjoyed it because we're talking about the spot that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy and Sting face off, Robert, and Sting throws the first kick. And I got to say, it's really irresponsible of AEW to put Sting in these physical situations. He's had spinal stenosis. He is in his 60s, and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I have often heard Flair and JJ often say, Sting was terrible at this. He didn't know when to beat his chest. I have never seen Sting beat his chest more ferociously and more intensely than he did tonight. This might have been the greatest thing he's done on TV in years, and I'm actually surprised they pulled it off.
And Bryant Heath says Darby scolding Sting for the tomfoolery was great. I don't like distraction stuff, but this is like Darby saying, hey, knock that shit off. Stop it.
You're embarrassing me, Dad.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Oh, that was so funny. Like the lazy chest beating was such a fantastic spot. And this is another thing where Sting's not embarrassing a younger talent. He's going along with it.
He's in on the joke.
Yes.
Which is really cool. Like this, because Sting, like, look, he's a man in his 60s who comes out wearing crow face paint. Like, it's a nostalgia pop, but it's also just kind of absurd. Like, most of professional wrestling is, at least on some level, a little absurd. So him doing this with Orange Cassidy, it's just the perfect amount of him being in on the joke.
Yes. I really liked it. Afterwards, the Blade attacks Orange Cassidy from behind, takes him out using brass knuckles. So we get that match as well, and Orange Cassidy wins. This one went a bit long for my liking, but it's still one of those things where, like, I just didn't care that much about the match. It went through a commercial. I was like, eh, whatever. But the crowd was white hot for it, and that's what a white hot crowd does. It makes you go, all right, wasn't for me. Wasn't my cup of tea, but it was a bunch of other people's cup of tea, and it made it significantly better, Alex. It looks like Orange Cassidy is adopting the brass knuckles. He put them in his pocket afterwards. That makes a lot of sense because he smacked the Blade at the end of this match. This was okay. There was a lot of back and forth interference. They're probably going to do Statlander Bunny again, unless they already have. But this was just like okay, but I think it was a catalyst to give Orange Cassidy the brass knuckles.
Yeah, I mean, like there's going to be wonderful spots where he goes to the pocket, and you don't know if he's going to pull out the brass knucks or not. But he's got the orange punch finisher. Like, I think that there's a certain type of babyface who you root for to cheat in certain situations. And I think Orange Cassidy can be that guy, because if they're listen, all these guys I'm facing, they're all finding different ways to cheat against me. What if I just have a certain like cheat code where I can reach into my pocket, pull out a pair of brass knucks and hit them with it, and everybody loves it.
So we're going to see that spot. We're going to see Orange Cassidy lazily put his hands in his pocket, Robert, and some heel is going to be like, oh, you loser. And then he's going to come out and he's going to have brass knuckles around his hands. That's a good spot. I think that's a cool one. Daniel R. likes the idea of Cassidy versus Hangman. And Sawyer says he super digs Wheeler, but isn't sure how he feels about a best friend repeatedly dropping to other baby faces. Is he sticking around? I think he'll be around quite a bit. He's got his pick of the litter right now. Yeah. He's done a WWE tryout, worked ROH, worked New Japan and AEW. Robert, I'm okay with him losing. He's sort of like the understudy.
The fact that he's on TV consistently is a good sign. And it's okay for him to lose. This wasn't my cup of tea. I did make a joke to my friend that I was watching this, that if Blade won, I might need to stop and write an article because the Blade won a match on Dynamite. But I like Cassidy with brass knuckles, and I think it can add to his character and be a lot better of a babyface cheating than Jeff Hardy putting his feet on the ropes for some reason on Raw.
Guys, reminder, leave a thumbs up, subscribe. You can donate a super chat with a little dollar sign down at the bottom. If you don't get your question in tonight, how about this? I'm doing a Q&A on Select Thursday afternoon at noon. It's a good time. And hey, we got a ton of interviews up this week. Raquel Gonzalez, Mojo Rawley. I did a fun interview with Mojo Rawley. Man, that guy is a blast. He told me, and Alex, you covered the show with me, so you'll realize how entertaining this is. He used to troll Rob Gronkowski by taking selfies with Lisa, the security guard, on game days, mind you. He would often send Rob Gronkowski Lisa, the security guard memes. It was a good time. I Touch Squirrels says, just want to add to the whole Brian Punk thing. If they debuted one after the other, they should be paired up in a trio with much younger talent and a very talented individual to elevate them. Alex, I agree with this. I'm okay with them being like a unit because that's what AEW does. Generally, these people sort of team up, and I'm okay with that. I just don't like the over-reliance on gang rules, but this should absolutely give the rub to somebody else, Alex.
Oh, 100%. And they have, like, who wouldn't want that opportunity? You know, and there's a lot, no shortage of young, brilliant guys they got on the roster that could work in that fashion.
Wheeler Yuta could work in that
spot. Sure, why not? Yeah.
If he wanted to in the future. He seems like a guy that would fit in really well with Punk and Brian. We've got a bunch more super chats. Rabbi Joe says here thanks to Quizlemania. SRS rules, if they can use it, I think Punk's kill switch theme works better of Cult of Personality. I disagree that it works better than Cult of Personality. Cult of Personality was became his hottest run. I think they can use the kill switch theme.
So he came out to Cult of Personality in the UFC. I think that's the one he just wants to use. Yes. But I also wouldn't mind, like, if Kenny is going for a suicide dive and everybody's doing the Terminator clap and you kickstart the AFI theme that he used in ROH as like a, my God, CM Punk is here. That would be a cool way to debut him.
That's what Rick Covington says. He thinks that would be perfect. I just think Cult of Personality is so identifiable with him. Like, right. Every wrestling fan knows what that means. One True Dude says, once Dark Order wins, Stu and Uno get the Bucks. Alex, Johnny should get the Good Brothers on Impact. I like that. John Silver in Impact would be mega over. Mega, mega, mega over. The live event news, a stadium or super show maybe. It should be. They should be doing a stadium next year. All Out should be in 30, 40,000. Without a doubt. They should not be doing 16,000 if they're selling out in a day. Do I think the Impact tag title shot gets added to the Eliminator stip last week? Would love the two members of Dark Order facing Good Brothers. I think that would be a cool shout. Add stakes to as much stuff as you possibly can, in my opinion. We still got a bunch of like non-show stuff. Frank Aguilera says, Alex celebrating the Bucks win last night was delightful. And people were very happy about Nick Gage. Rob Reed said, oh my effing God, when he walked out. Tyrone asks, Alex, what would you do if Giannis pulled a Medusa and grabs an AEW title instead?
Oh, my respect for him, which is infinite now, would he be even more if he decided, no, thanks, Hunter, you can keep your stank-ass WWE belt. I want an AEW belt because that's the good stuff. Well, at least he's got great taste.
Plus, he got you all a title.
That's
he got
true.
You all, with an all-time performance, by the way.
My God, man.
Dustin Swift says the money match is champion Hangman versus heel challenger CM Punk. heel CM Punk, whew, coming back and doing everything that he said he hated in that Colt Cabana interview, part-timer. And
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All that, look at that, my God. We've got Javier Reyes saying, can CM Punk still go? He's a lot older now. He's 42, hasn't wrestled in a long time. I just don't want to be disappointed. Well, I don't know, but I do know a guy in WWE by the name of Edge who is 47 years old and didn't wrestle for 9 years. I know a guy in AEW by the name of Christian Cage who's 47 and hadn't wrestled since 2014 as well, and they're doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, you also know a guy who's going to win 5 matches in a row who's a lot older than 42 or whatever it is, and Chris Jericho. Like, I know he hasn't had time off, but yeah. he looks every bit of 50 to me. I don't think that Punk looks like that to me.
Stephen Corton, I want to thank you so much. He sent a monster super chat, so I want to take the time to thank him. I really appreciate that. Anybody who invests in us, whether it's a dollar or 50, like Stephen did here, big thank you to that. He says, I love your booking, but let's be honest. DB is coming into feud with Cody. You can't slot him into a world title feud unless you want to wait. So they'll do the framing versus the dream. I hate it, but it's what's coming. I could 100% see Cody Rhodes feuding with either one of these men, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's if you're not going to slot him into a title program, that's kind of what Cody's there for, considering Cody can't be the title holder for the time being until he decides he is, then you can do cool stuff with it. I think that they can easily hotshot this Black versus Cody thing and get Black over and move him on to something else. And then when either Punk or Brian show up, Cody's right there, you know, and there's a lot of shared history between three now former WWE guys that like can have that to build on if they choose to do a little shooting in their promos.
Robert, what do you think about that? Cody has, I mean, he seemed like the go-to guy for that type of stuff with Malakai Black. And by the way, we can kind of tie this into the video that we saw. We saw the wonderful Xenia in the background filming as Cody Rhodes fell to the ground. Everybody was in shock. We're going to get the match. But Cody against either one of these people, I mean, it's a big match for AEW.
It's a huge match. I think with CM Punk, there's something there. He can kind of paint himself as, you know, I never left wrestling. I did what you said you wanted to do. I changed it. I made it better. He can paint himself as a heel in that way. I like that more than the Daniel Bryan match. I think Bryan's going straight for the TNT title. I think Bryan wants to wrestle every week. And I think you get open challenges with guys like Lee Moriarty, Jonathan Gresham. I think Bryan makes the play for that kind of stuff.
You want to talk about a person that fits in with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan? Lee Moriarty would fit real well with those two. I think that would be really, really great. Intangible One says, give Giannis a Bucks-themed TNT title, also some Miro Bloodsport jacket. Is he going there for a match? I hope so. I would really love if he did that. But he also did a promo saying that he'll defend the title at AEW Homecoming August 4th. There are three shows named Homecoming in the next month. They should really not do that. GCW, AEW, and Impact. And by the way, all these places share talent. Matt Cardona is facing Nick Gage at Homecoming. Nick Gage was on AEW, which is promoted Homecoming. And then, by the way, Cardona is likely competing alongside Chelsea Green at Impact Homecoming.
Justin, we're all coming home, Sean. The wrestling ring is home, and that's what it is.
I'm ready to tell the world that I'm coming home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Shout out to Diddy, who follows me on Twitter. Justin Tinkham says, Black and Punk versus American Nightmare, American Dragon. Ooh, that's one I hadn't considered whatsoever.
I'd watch and that.
That sounds like a ball. Brendan Taylor says, if they're signing Punk and Bryan, they deserve more eyes on the product because they obviously are a company that is progressive and giving everyone, including the talent, what they want. And here's what stands out to me about that. I had to tweet, sorry, guys, I'm just the messenger, when I broke the news of Goldberg heading back to do a program for the world title. Because we know, we've been there, we've done that. We know how WWE does this stuff. AEW does things different. And for everybody saying, yeah, you're playing into tribalism. No, I'm telling you what I like and what I don't like. And if you don't like it, cry, I guess. I don't know. There's more tough. There's worse things to be worried about. But
yeah,
I was very disappointed when I heard that, when I heard Goldberg was coming back to do that. I knew Goldberg was coming back because he had one more match on his deal this year. But it's like anything but that. Hannah M says, Lee and Daniel Bryanson injected it in my veins. I've had trouble calling Bryan Danielson and Daniel Bryan anything but Daniel Bryanson lately. Oh, Jesus. Terry Lee, thank you for the super chat. If you have a question, go ahead and send it along and we will answer that. What else do we have on this show? I got a little off track, been all over the place. Dasha backstage. By the way, Dasha wrestled this weekend at the Mission Pro show in Florida. So it's good to see her like working on her craft there.
Yeah.
Got no problems with her popping up and doing like stuff on Dark or anything like that. But she did a segment with Brian Cage. She has a video of Team Taz, and Ricky Starks says that they're going to have a big party to celebrate in Charlotte next week. And Cage says next week works out and that he loves celebrations. Sure. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I'm also cool with Andrade El Idolo's new, it's a manager. I can't remember what they called him, but he's a manager. And it's Chavo Guerrero Jr. Oh, and let me tell you guys how much it warmed my heart. I never thought it would warm my heart to not hear Eddie Chance, but it warmed my heart to hear Chavo, instead of Eddie Chance for that guy, because he deserves it. He's one of those guys to where you could argue that his last name got him far in his career, but you could also argue that his last name may have held him back quite a bit because, or at least in perception people, because people would always compare him to Eddie. They would always compare him to the family. And the guy was super talented, is super talented, executive consultant. I was very excited to see this. Moving on from Vicky is good, but keeping it in the family is good as well, Alex.
Yeah.
So happy to see Chavo here, but what did you think?
Yeah, it was a total shock. Like, it was one of those things like, oh, yeah, of course. What a great choice. And I love to see the crowd react to him. When we Texas, it's perfect. Like, here's the thing. It's like we saw two companies in Texas this week. And one company says, hey, hometown people, you don't get a win. And the other side says, let's make big deals out of being in front of your home fans. And it's amazing. Look at the crowd's reaction. They're happy to see people from where they're happy to cheer for people winning for where they're from. It's great. It's so good. And I also loved him coming down, being able to be like the guy who can be like, Andrade says this, but he does it in a way that's not like Penta says. Like, it's a little different. It's just him, like, actually just rapping with you. I thought that was good, too.
What'd you think of this, Robert?
Chavo is one of those guys. Now, I will fully admit, I have fallen into the trap in recent years of going, oh, he's just an Eddie tribute act. It's unfortunate because he is good in his own right. It was good to hear him get his own pop and be his own man on this night. And him being with Andrade will only help Andrade. It only helps the AAA show. It'll only help interactions with everybody down the line. There's so much here. He's got history with Punk. He's got history with Brian for when you need to pull that trigger. There's a lot here, and you can always pair him right back up with Vicky because it is all in the family. I like this layer being added, and I hope Chavo's around for a while.
I do too. Shanika says F's in the chat for Death Rhombus. Chris Rain says, I loved seeing Chavo come out. One of the nicest guys I've met. Great person to be with Andrade. Let me tell you guys, if he is full-time with AEW, he will be invaluable to them. A great wrestling mind. Oh, by the way, he's been working on GLOW during this period. So, you know, he's got ins with actors and stuff like that. I mean, they're very,
Young
very
Rock. He trained everybody for Young Rock.
There you go. He trained everybody for Young Rock as well. Hope whenever Chavo gets music, it starts with Ooh Chavo. Like, it's gotta. They don't have that trademark. Marco says, late to the party, but I'm excited. Do we see Brian extending his run, seeing all the matchups available to him now? Yes, for sure. MC Punk says, JR. Yeah, people are saying that JR is going to have a tough time with Danielson's name. I mean, I do, so I'd imagine so. Anakin, AEW is becoming what WWE has wanted to be. Anything can happen here. I don't think WWE's wanted to be that for a while, or else they would be that. They're more than capable of it. It's a content creation company, and if you like that, more power to you. Taxel says Lucha Brothers turning on Pac and joining Andrade as he continues to build a faction to take down Dark Order in a year.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. LFI. I think
okay.
That door is opening wide, and we got some faction, whether it's Naito from New Japan. They've got enough LFI members or LIJ members to make this happen around Andrade.
New Punk Rant said, sad we didn't get the hobby horse for Chavo. Eventually, don't worry. Would Cabana versus Punk go over, all things considered, said Jason? There are some fences still to be mended there, and I hope they mend them, because at least once a year, I go watch a video on Colt Cabana's channel. Please go watch it. It is a thing called Cut My Promo, where Colt Cabana would have his friends cut promos for upcoming matches, and he had CM Punk do it, and it was so good. And I legitimately think, as much as I love all the Conrad podcasts there are, I think the two single greatest podcasts in wrestling history were CM Punk's exit interviews with Colt Cabana, without a doubt. That was special podcasting, the best I've ever heard. Plus, they got somebody now that if they wanted to run a podcast together that will help them not get sued. And that's really great. That's really great.
Yep.
Virtual Basement says, it seems this month is the month for returns. 7/24/2021. Gee, I wonder who this could be. Actually, I know. I know Virtual Basement is talking about for the wrestling code, and you guys are going to love it. Valab says, Chavito, man, there are a few people in wrestling that put a real big smile on my face, and he is one of them. Ryan Evans says he would love to see Andrade bring two guys from AAA to go against Death Triangle. Would Psycho Clown be one of the two? Yeah, probably. It's always a question of how well these people translate to American TV and the American style as well. But as Brendan said, Roosh is a good shout. Yes. I like that one. Sawyer says, Shaw Guerrero married to Matt Raywald. Aiden English still set tones to AEW soon. I think people would be very surprised at how well he could work and what he could do and all that. I think he would be a pretty solid addition. Guys, thank you all for all the super chats. This is the most super chatted Wednesday show since Sting's debut, I think. Mike Leotis says AEW is becoming can't miss. Do you think a team joins Andrade? I like Robert's shout. Yeah. I love Robert's shout of LFI and all that stuff. That's
I was straight up
an LIJ.
They were going to turn on Pac tonight. Because if you noticed the beginning of his little promo, he was like three steps down the ramp in front of them, which was a perfect position for them to attack him from behind, like they had already planned this with Andrade. And I was like, no, I never really got to see them like do stuff. Yeah. They've never been all three of them together and healthy for a very long time. I want to see a trios run with them, even if they don't have titles. I want to see them take on everybody else's three best guys just for a while, because I want to see those matches.
Love that as well. Marco says, also, money for seeing the sourest man in wrestling media looking the happiest he's been for the last 24 hours. Congrats, Alex. I mean, he watches NXT, wins NBA championship, gets to cover AEW. That's the sweetest 24 hours.
Pretty great. Yeah, 24 hours, yeah.
Suplex City says, do you think Hobbs versus Miro would be good in a fashion contest even? Overalls versus whatever Miro's got to wear. Yeah. Oh, Hobbs is bringing back the overalls. Respect, my dude. Justin says, dude, Felice is right. All the Tranquilo, L.I.J. Yep, I like it. I like it. And Brandon Charles Powell says, it's just such a fun time to be a wrestling fan right now. When people are sending super chats, just like, hey, this is fun, and I want you to read this on the air. Yeah, I think the show has people in pretty good moods.
Yeah.
I think it does. And you know what? If you're in the mood, but you can't get your penis erect, Blue Chew is here to help. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work, but they work on your schedule. They're ready whenever you are. If you're in the mood or if you're not in the mood and you got to get in the mood, Blue Chew takes care of it. And it's far less awkward than this commercial. How? How? Because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. So you're not going to have, come on, you know. Those nosy Nellies at the pharmacy. What are you getting? What are you getting? What's not your business? I'm getting my wiener pills. Actually, you won't be saying that because you're not going to a pharmacy. You don't have to worry about that gossip girl behind the desk looking going, no. And you know what? Your mailman won't be either. Your mailman's not going to be strolling through the neighborhood going, sup, guys? He's got Blue Chew. Because it comes to you in a discreet package. And there's no in-person doctor's visits. BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL, gets you your first shipment free. So in addition to all that discretion, you get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com. Eye contact, Robert!
At least they're paying money for it.
There we go. Where were the Young Bucks? I mean, sometimes you just get a week off. Robert, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, they don't need to be on every show. And I think they've earned the week after several weeks of defending the titles.
Yeah, I'm completely fine with that. Well, we had Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, who is just unbelievably over. And she's unbelievably over against a person who she can work babyface against, Alex. This was not like my favorite match or anything like that. I didn't think the work was particularly snug or crisp or anything like that. There were some spots I liked, and this is the difference in a white hot crowd. It takes a match like this that you could leave a little bit to be desired. I don't think they have the best chemistry, but it was Britt Baker's task. She overcame it, and she made Nyla Rose, the Beast, tap out.
Yeah. There were a lot of near falls. Way more than I thought there were going to be.
Yes.
Some major high impact move being kicked out by both women. I was shocked when they had Nyla kick out of two stomps. Like, I was like, whoa, okay. But I guess it was all for the fact that, because I thought the point was that Nyla Rose is so big and so strong that Britt can't possibly get
sure.
lockjaw on her, so she has to beat her a different way, which I thought showed that Britt is a canny champion and can figure out an alternative way of winning. But no, she just like she decided, no, you are going to tap out to me, and figured out a way to get there. I thought that was good too. I thought there were some high impact moves. I thought that some of the match was sloppy, but overall, I thought that it was fine, and it got this Nyla Rose sized monkey off of her back because she couldn't beat her in that tournament, and that I thought was a major booking, not a mistake, but a statement. To have Nyla beat Britt, as white hot as Britt was, at that point, to have her lose to Nyla Rose, I thought was interesting. And now, even if you're not paying attention, it's a true statement. Britt got her win back in the most dramatic of fashions. I thought it was great.
When she had peaked and she had been a champion.
Yep.
Again, the work in this wasn't my favorite, but Robert, they did the right thing. She won decisively and cleanly.
Here's what I loved about this match. Tony Schiavone on commentary made this so much more important because Britt gets the glove, she's playing to the camera, and he's screaming as though she can hear her. No, turn around, because that is his friend. And you can say, oh, well, you know, be unbiased. It's wrestling. It's a work. Let him do whatever he wants to do. He told the story better than anybody else could.
Every week, I'm like, man, I remember when Tony Schiavone was loathed in WCW. And then what happened was we got 20 years of WWE commentary. And it's like, okay, you don't know what you got till it's gone. When is Hook debuting? I couldn't imagine anytime soon. I mean, I've not heard anything of it. Dante V says the belt spot was great. Very good. I love that. Britt tried to Eddie Guerrero, Vicky Guerrero's client, and Vicky Guerrero said, eh. That was one of the best uses of Vicky Guerrero so far.
And then Nyla tried to Eddie Britt, and Britt got the belt back just time for the ref to turn to her. But I thought that was funny because Britt's the champion. If she gets DQ'd, she gets to keep her title. That was a weird strategy by Nyla.
Well, no. She wasn't pretending she was hit. She pretended like she was cowering before being hit.
Okay.
So she made it a point to not imply that she had been hit, which I thought was a very smart aspect.
That is good. I missed that.
I love me some Sova says Britt really trying to pull the Eddie with Vicky standing right there. And can we get Britt versus Conti or Rosa or Statlander? I think that's where they're going now.
Yeah.
Rosa's with AEW now. She's there. Like, she is an AEW wrestler. That's that. She's there. Brandon Charles Powell says, I like how when Britt had the leg injury, she did a segment calling out Sheeta, Nyla, and Statlander as conspirators. Two down, is Statlander next? That's a fantastic shout. That is a great callback. She should probably bring that up. I love that.
And Statlander hasn't lost this year either, so it might be about time.
I need Britt Baker laying in those strikes and Chris Statlander laying in those strikes the way she has been. Tinkman says, women's match at the top of the hour, nice change. They've done that for a while now. Since they got the criticism of the 9:30 women's match, they've changed it. Dante says the belt spot was great. It was. That was a highlight of this, and they pulled it off really, really well. Again, I love this shout. I love this shout. Really, really good. Ricardo says, was Chavo supposed to be Zelina? I think so. No, I think they've known for months that she was going there. And yeah, I think they knew. Ricardo says, Danielson versus Phoenix, give me a hose.
Yeah.
Poor JR, we've already read that one. Well, we've got Not the main event segment yet. My apologies. We've got the FTR, Santana and Ortiz presser backstage, which I thought was fair. Hell yes. Pictures being pulled out of the jacket.
That man brought visual aids. He's like, this is my mom. This is our apartment. This is a newspaper citing what she sued to get our apartment better. You could just deliver the promo. I'm pretty sure that cash can't see those from that far away.
Some people, Alex, are visual learners. They it's need true. This. So Santana was quick to provide it. I like this.
You say you grew up in poverty. Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Dax is like, you've got my phone number. You could have texted me these. I could have seen them better.
I like this. I hope that next week they kick Tully and Conan out right away. I don't want any shenanigans. I just want a good match.
Yeah.
Patrick Cooper says, Sean, your honest opinion on all the crazy news today. I really want Tommy in versus Sammy at some point. My gosh, love you, man. Well, hey, we love you too. We appreciate you. I think it is a gigantic move. I think it's a gigantic move that will help close that gap, especially if they can keep putting on hot shows and creatively satisfying the people there. And it's just going to get crazier. And please remember that I say that. It will just keep getting crazier. Rafael Garcia says, the trial of Faye has Xavier Cedric and other wrestlers listening in. I'm so sad I'm missing this right now. I will be tuning in to the trial of Faye Jackson immediately following this. And by the way, the prosecutor, Sugar Dunkerton, will be on our show Friday.
That's correct.
Filling in for me with Robert DeFelice as I go on vacation. Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
So let's get to the main event segment, for the love of God. Let's get to it. Holy crap. Oh yeah, by the way, Nightmare Factory is going to get an apology from Tony Schiavone next week. They're not going to apologize to him.
I hate it. This is so dumb.
Give a shit about this. Not at all. Main event happened though. Moxley, Archer gets the win. Punk Ross Show says the three bearded gods are live and taking over. Archer had to win this, Robert. It was going to be the giant that cried wolf if he lost another title match. And he did win, and it didn't hurt Moxley a bit. Why? Because Moxley lost to a big, bad son of a bitch who's been protected in everything but title matches. It's wild how different that is from what we saw Monday.
Yeah, Archer did need this. I didn't see it coming. In fact, I noticed that Moxley's thing said 564 days. I was writing up, he reaches 600 days as champion to go live in 2 weeks, and then he lost. I definitely didn't see this coming. Good match, a lot of blood, very fun TV. And next week he fights Hikuleo, so that's really cool.
Hikuleo has been shown throughout the night. Daniel R. says, how does New Japan booking work when on an AEW show? I'll find out some more about that. I'm going to ask about that. But Michael Patterson says, with Hikuleo being on next week, Dynamite and being referenced as Tama and Tonga's brother, do we think we're going to be seeing G.O.D. at some point soon? Yes. There is money to be made in Tama Tonga saying things towards all these guys. Switchblade, Tama, Tonga Loa. Ooh. Oh, by the way, fella by the name of Chris Bay, who just joined Bullet Club. Wow.
There is money. Yeah. Now, Impact did show AAA, New Japan, and AEW logos in their commercial for Bound for Glory on Sunday. There is money in Young Bucks versus Good Brothers versus G.O.D. at Bound for Glory, winner take all, and that's a good match.
Bullet Club is still loaded. Still freaking loaded. Alex, this match saw a disgusting choke slam onto two spines of chairs, a fork spot. And Austin Leach said, if I had a nickel for every time I saw a fork spot in the last week, I would have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's crazy how that happened twice. I saw one of them live and in person. Denise kept saying, oh, they're going to get blood on Sean's new shoes. Man, those shoes, those already worth $2,400 shoes. Do you know how much money they'd be worth if they had Kenny Omega and Sami Callihan's blood on them? Give it to me. Give it to me. Oh. Eloquent mentions that they used a fan as a weapon, which is the most Archer thing to do, Alex.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And then the finish came with the barbed wire board and Moxley taking a gnarly spot through there. Amazing.
I did love the theme that went through this match. The biggest bumps that Moxley took were of his own doing, because Archer set up the two tables with the flats next to each other, the seats across from each other, and he was going to do a blackout. And so Moxley got out of it, and then he said, "Aha! I will put these so the backs are together and create a perfect spine." And he was going to do something. But then Archer put him on top of it. And you're right, that was a sick bump. And then he was the one who brought out the board with the barbed wire on it, and he set it down the tables. He was going to do a paradigm shift through it, but Archer said, "No, I got that scouted. How about you go in there?" And I thought that was a great – I honestly thought Archer was going to win, because I don't know. I trust he needed it, and I feel like AEW knew he needed it. And also Moxley doesn't need it anymore, and – it's in his hometown, and I trust AEW to do the right thing and send the fans home happy with the hometown boy getting the Duke. Like it's so obvious a thing to do to build goodwill with your fan base. So you do it as opposed to, you know, not doing it.
Yeah.
Whew, my God. Xavier says, "I wonder what's next for Moxley. Any ideas?" He could reform that team with Eddie Kingston now. I mean, we've got some room there. I think that would be a good one. Drew Lytle says Jay White confronting Omega and Impact. Hikuleo confronts Archer and AEW. It's Bullet Club versus World. And there's plenty of it to go around. James Edward Smith says this is genius. They made it look like Moxley wasn't going to use the title outside of Japan. And then Lance, who never wins, fought from underneath for the first time ever and won. Well, he wins a lot. He wins everything but title matches. That's just been the thing. He had to win the title match. He wins a lot of matches, though. Make sure you go check his record. Any idea who the Planet fan was? I do not know. Surprised we haven't seen Miro's flexible wife. Well, not able to yet.
Now, I have a theory here. He's cutting these promos like this is the word of the Redeemer. How long until we see CJ Perry dressed up as a nun alongside Miro on television?
Okay, that's funny. Billy Buttlicker says, "Wow, what a show and what a surprise ending." That was a good one. It was a good one. Wallop says, "Hoyt Mania, baby, let's go Mox for the G1. That would be a lot of fun. Don't know if he would skip over to Japan for a month and a half with a newborn kid. Seems weird. Guys, somebody please send me instructions on how to listen to the Faye trial. That would be very nice. I am not that hip to technology, and I am legitimately more concerned about the outcome of the Faye Jackson trial just for pure entertainment's sake and because of the parties involved. Please send me that information on Twitter, please. Alex, what do you got going on this week?
Well, the finals are over, so I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So I get to watch more wrestling without worrying about other things going at the same time. So I'm gonna watch SmackDown, which should be scenerific. Who knows what else is going to happen there? Some other stuff, perhaps. So I'll be covering that on Saturday on Sour Graps. Hopefully, it'll be good. And then on Monday, I'm sure Raw will be hopefully better than it was last week. And then I also cover NXT, which is, you know, buried under tons of rubble after the explosion that happened last Monday. But I just want to say, AEW, just like my Milwaukee Bucks, built for this. They built for this. Champions forever. Follow me on Twitter at Alex Sour Graps.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Dude Felice. On Friday, I'll be covering SmackDown with Pineapple Pete, who is currently hopefully winning a case over on Twitter. So you can come back here for that. And I'm here every day on Fightful, breaking news, writing stories, and all that good stuff. And thank you.
Somebody says Black versus Archer for the U.S. title at All Out. That sounds like the most fun.
Oh my God.
Can we do that like now? I want to watch it now.
That sounds awesome. Oh, Where is Shota Umino? Gosh, I'm trying to remember if he went back. I want to see him reunite with Moxley as well. Give me like one second and I'll read the super chat because I do remember it just slipped my mind. Is Bryan Danielson officially confirmed for AEW? No, it is reported that he is in AEW. Nothing is confirmed and official until there's that All Elite graphic. Until that happens, that's just not the case. Shota was in Rev Pro, but I don't know if he's been back over to Japan yet. I can't remember off the top of my head. His cage match isn't pulling up, but that's where you'd check it out at. And I've been off the New Japan beat for a little bit. Fran Chili says, I didn't get my super chat read. What was it? And I'll read it really quickly. Yes, Shota is back in the UK. He has been working shows. He worked this past weekend. I knew I had heard that he was about to, but I wasn't sure if he had yet. But Fran Chili posted again with asterisks. We're just gonna hang around. We're just gonna sit here and wait. We're gonna sit here and wait and not listen to the Faye Jackson trial.
So how you guys doing? What was for dinner?
I had pizza for dinner. It was Little Caesars and it was very bad. I feel like junk. By the way, guys, we don't read advertisements for people's channels and stuff. If you want advertisements for channels, you got to pay the ad rate there. That's not a super chat.
Alex, life good?
Yeah, I made chicken sandwiches, fried patty chicken sandwiches in the air fryer. Good stuff.
You know what we made yesterday? My wife made a grilled cheese, and I looked at it and I said, you know what I haven't had in a while? A good hot ham and cheese. So we got some good thinly sliced deli ham. We fried it up, and then we got some really good cheese and melted it on there. Yeah. Oh man,
yeah,
it was good. Ms. Ace says, okay, Shorty. You can't do the thing. Joel Pearl says, Tony Khan collecting them Infinity Stones. I think that was the super chat.
I think it was.
Thank you, Joel Pearl. Yes he is. He is. But good. No, we're not going to ban somebody who paid us money. Absolutely not. This was fun banter at the end of this.
Yeah.
And we respect and we thank everybody who donates super chats. We truly mean it. This has been one of our biggest weeks for that.
And now we have a piece of trivia. Sean Ross Sapp and his love of hot ham and cheeses.
It was so good, man. So good. It was every bit as good as I had imagined it. Guys, I am headed to Denver on Friday, but you'll still get all your Fightful Select content. Robert will be here Friday night. Until next time, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.